Come down, O love divine, seek thou this soul of mine, and visit it with thine own ardor glowing. O Comforter, draw near, within my heart appear, and kindle it, thy holy flame bestowing. Amen. Please be seated. Fiery flame, wild wind, hearts ignited with passion, and tongues spreading the good news of Jesus Christ in languages of all who are present, that they might hear and receive. The Holy Spirit has been sent, and for the first time, there is universal oneness. There are no barriers, no walls. There's nothing to exclude or deny participation. It is out of this oneness of God that the church is born. In today's readings from Acts, Romans, Psalms, and John, each author speaks to the attributes of the Holy Spirit from their own perspective. In Acts, we get visuals of fire and wind that demonstrate the power of the Spirit. John's Holy Spirit is one who comes to comfort and guide, who inspires and advocates and mediates, who is present both within us and alongside us. Paul reminds us that those who are led by the Spirit are God's children. And the psalmist praises God for God's work in creation and the gifts brought about by the Holy Spirit. Here in our scriptures, we have witnessed the work of the Holy Spirit in history. The Spirit, promised and sent by God to come and give the disciples the power that they needed to witness, to proclaim not just to Jerusalem, but to the ends of the earth, the inclusive, welcoming love of God. And it is by this same Spirit who is present and working in us that we may strive to continue the work begun in the first century church. This is the work of being open, of being inviting, and of welcoming others into our midst in a way that they might know and experience the unconditional love of Jesus. As we saw with the disciples, to become this kind of church, we must be willing to be changed. We must be willing to try new things on. We must be willing to trust in the movement of the Spirit, not worrying that we will lose things that matter to us, but that by doing so, our experiences will be made broader and richer. We must be willing to have our hearts transformed by the Spirit. The first Episcopal church that I attended here in California, and in my life actually, was Holy Faith Episcopal in Inglewood. Once a predominantly white mainline church, the membership of Holy Faith over time had shifted to become multicultural, multilingual, and multi-traditional. When my husband and I arrived as a newly married biracial, bicultural couple, we were warmly welcomed into this community where no segment of the church's population, race, or ethnic group exceeded 30%. This is a place where both our races and our culture were represented, and we loved Holy Faith. That was until we experienced our first bilingual service. Caught by surprise, with only our high school level Spanish, we struggled to participate in the lessons and the songs, or to understand the sermon that was both in English and Spanish. We made it through. But what we really wanted was to worship in English. So the next week when we came to church and the service was in English, we were relieved. But then 2 weeks later, during the offertory, a group of African parishioners dressed in brightly colored traditional clothing gathered in the back of the nave. They began to beat drums as they processed up and down the aisle, singing and shouting praises to God in the native language, Igbo. This is what we would come to know as an African procession. Praising God as one comes to give their offering and put it in the basket. It was loud, it was active, and it was something that we had not experienced. And I found myself once again confronted and resistant to this expression of worship that was so unlike my own. What I longed for was the comfort of the familiar. You see, in my ignorance and my naivety, it had not occurred to me that just as I might wish to worship in English, so too might they wish to worship in the native language of Spanish or Igbo. When I finally got this, thanks to the compassionate guidance of our rector, a willingness to be open and try new things arose in me, and I began to see holy faith for what it actually was, a community of believers united in a common faith in Jesus, who worshiped and celebrated and respected and included the diverse expressions of culture and language and tradition of all its members. One mark of the Holy Spirit is that it empowers us to connect with one another. The Spirit insists and imposes upon us an awareness that the world is much broader than the universe in which we live every day. It empowers us and calls us to make conscious choices to expand our worlds. And with the help of the Spirit, we can begin to dismantle the things that keep us apart, that separate us. These are things like language and culture, economics and race, politics and gender. And as we do this, we begin to transform into communities of believers who welcome and embrace the universal oneness of God and creation. Acts tells us that at the beginning in Jerusalem, God sent the Holy Spirit to break down the barriers of language so that people might hear the good news and come to believe. All at once, the disciples are talking, and everyone can hear. And then, empowered by the Spirit himself, Peter recognizes that this is a moment unlike any other. There may never be a time again when his spoken word will be heard and understood by all people. So he seizes the moment, and he begins to preach, employing the prophetic words of the prophet Joel and telling the world about the salvation that is given through Jesus. In this moment, a new community is birthed. Now, a little over a year ago, some of you might remember that our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, was invited to preach at the wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Although Bishop Curry likely knew that the wedding would be highly attended and broadcast throughout the world, he may not have anticipated that between the United States and the UK alone, 47 million people would tune in. Drawing from his passionate love for Jesus, Bishop Curry preached the Sermon of Sermons, one that almost got more press than the wedding. He was lit by the Spirit. His was a powerful proclamation of God's love for all people, And it was reminiscent of Peter's sermon in Acts. And perhaps like Peter, Bishop Curry sensed the Spirit beckoning him to take the opportunity that lay before him to proclaim God's love in a time and a place where all might hear. His was an inspiring message. And yet even our presiding bishop has found himself unsure from time to time. He recently shared that he has moments of self-doubt, times when he wonders if someone made a mistake when they chose him, or whether he is really supposed to be doing this. But he said, and I quote, "I've never had a doubt about the reason I do what I do. My mission is to help people to find their way to a loving, liberating, and life-giving relationship with God and with each other as children of God, and ultimately with the whole of creation. The clearer I am about that, and the more consistently I return to it, the more my doubts diminish." And then he added, "If you are clear about your cause, about your purpose, you can navigate anything that is thrown at you." Here at St. Francis, you are clear about your cause. Every week, you proclaim it in the words of your mission statement, which reminds you that you are called to welcome everyone to worship together, to be transformed by the Holy Spirit and one another, and to share the light of Christ in the world. As I have served with you this past year, I have seen and felt the movement of the Spirit actively at work in and through you. I have witnessed how, with love and generosity, you extend yourselves in service to your neighbors and to one another. I have listened as you raised your voices in prayer. I have watched as you extend comfort to one another in times of need, and as you join together in celebration for all that God has done and is doing in this community. There is a thread of God-given Holy Spirit energy that runs through this community. It empowers and enables you to express God's love in action as you serve in mission and you work together for the good of all. St. Francis, you are alive in the Spirit. And it has been a privilege and my joy to be with you along the way. Thank you for your generosity, for welcoming me so warmly into your community, for helping me to grow in my priestly vocation. Because of you, I have grown in faith and in love. May you continue the work that Christ has begun in you, going forth to love and serve in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.